Chapter 14. 0901 hours, August 30, 2552, military calendar. Epsilon Eridani System, ONI Underground Facility, Planet Reach. The secure storage doors whispered open, and overhead fluorescent lights strobed on. Fred saw motion, but it was only his own reflection in the burnished mirror finish of the chamber's stainless steel walls. Will stepped inside and looked up, then glanced back down the corridor. The room was a 3-by-5-meter vault with steel walls, floor, and ceiling. Their footfalls were muffled as they entered, so the floor had to be at least 1/4 meter thick. Along the right and left walls stood secure floor-to-ceiling lockers, and 2 metal crates sat along the far wall. Every surface was spotless, and every seam had been precision milled to prevent explosives or acids from penetrating.
"One moment, please," Kamaya told them. "I'm attempting to access the locks now. Please stand by."
Will stood at the doorway and watched their backs. It didn't make Fred feel any more at ease. The abandoned ONI base was somehow more intimidating than facing the Covenant invasion force overhead. He had walked down these corridors 12 times during his training on Reach. This base had always been full of people. Now, empty, it drove the point home that the Covenant were winning. First the outer colonies had been crushed. Now Reach. How long before humanity was forced to retreat all the way back to Earth? And after that, what? There would be no other choice but victory or extinction. Enough. Such musings didn't help him achieve his immediate objective. He'd leave the long-range strategies to generals and admirals. It was time to concentrate on what he did best. The walls hummed as thick metal bolts inside the lockers retracted, the sound of heavy oiled steel sliding over steel. With a final thump, the sound ceased. Kalmaya said,
"Lockers open and safeties disabled. Spartans, help yourselves."
"Secure the outer door, please," Fred told her.
The door to the hallway eased shut and locked, and Will moved to Fred's side. Each Spartan opened one of the wall lockers, standing to the side in case there was some leftover booby trap within that Kalmaya had failed to disable. Fred peered inside and saw a rack of handguns. They weren't the standard issue HE pistols. These had oversized barrels, easily 30% larger and longer, and they had grips of self-molding plastisteel. He picked one up and hefted it. Its balance was barrel-heavy, to be expected from an unloaded pistol. He found 3 boxes of clips at the bottom of the locker, opened one, and took out a clip. Whatever this new handgun shot, it was high caliber. Slugs the size of his thumb. He slid the clip into the gun, and it secured with a satisfying click. Now it was perfectly balanced, far better than the standard-issue sidearm. He secured the weapon and turned to see what Will had found. Will examined a plastic-wrapped rifle. He removed the rifle from the locker, ripped off its sheathing, and shouldered it. He nodded with satisfaction. Unlike the MA-5B, this rifle had a longer barrel and stock, with a cut-down muzzle shroud. A scope was mounted on an optics railing along the top of the rifle. Will hefted a clip and inserted it into the receiver. He shouldered the rifle again and peered through the scope.
"Auto-zoom. Nice."
Will and Fred then traded and inspected the new weapons. Fred liked the feel of this new rifle, but wondered how much punch it had. Enough, he hoped, to make the trade-off of having fewer rounds in the clip worth it. They filled 2 sacks with the new pistols, rifles, and ammunition, then moved to the footlockers and lifted the lids. Inside the first locker were satchel charges. Fred grabbed 3 and looped them over his neck.
"I think we can find a use for these."
Will knelt next to the 2nd footlocker. Within were plastic boxes marked Mjolnir Mark V, followed by a long list of serial numbers.
"This must be what Dr. Halsey wanted," he said.
There was a flutter in the floor, which got Fred's full attention, because a flutter in a solid steel floor meant trouble. The comm channel opened, and Dr. Halsey's voice crackled with static.
"Get back to the lab ASAP! I might have a way out. Quickly!"
The vault room flexed, and thunder rumbled through the walls.
"Detonations," Will said. "They're coming."
"Secure those boxes,"
Fred ordered. He raced to the closed doors.
"Open,"
he shouted to Kalmaya, and waited as the door slowly eased apart. He scanned up and down the corridor, and then ran back toward the lab. When they got to the medical wing, the lights were dead, and Fred saw Kelly's helmet lights cut through the velvet-rich, dust-filled darkness. She had Dr. Halsey draped over her shoulder. Blood ran from the doctor's nostrils.
"Her office collapsed," Kelly told them. "Support beam missed her by a centimeter."
Dr. Halsey looked up and whispered,
"I'm fine, really."
She pushed away from Kelly, stood, and teetered in place. Fred scooped her up and set her on the examination table.
"With all due respect, ma'am, you're not."
Another detonation rippled through the earth, this one stronger than the previous explosion. Fissures snaked through the concrete walls. Vin and Isaac bounded into the room.
"Enemy contacts at extreme range,"
Vin reported.
"Down,"
Dr. Halsey said, and she held a palm-sized data pad for Fred to see. It had a map on its display, but not of this base.
"We have to go lower."
Fred wondered if Dr. Halsey were delirious.
"Down the elevator shaft in Section Sigma," she explained. "We'll seal it behind us. We can't let them follow."
"Kelly, take point,"
Fred ordered. He grabbed two of the new Magnum pistols, loaded them, and then tossed them to Kelly, along with three extra clips.
"I guess you get to test these."
Kelly gazed at the new weapons and gave a low whistle. Fred opened the bags with the new rifles and handed them out to his team.
"Will, you mule the extra parts and ammo."
"Roger,"
Will replied and slung them over his shoulders.
"Those satchels over there,"
Dr. Halsey said, and waved to four duffel bags.
"Medical supplies, food and water. We'll need them too."
Will grabbed them as well.
"Just a few more things,"
Dr. Halsey whispered.
"We can't let them get into O&I's records."
She tapped her pad once and then said to Kalmaya,
"Begin Operation White Glove. Irradiate all computer memory crystal. Code file access Beta Foxtrot 999-874.
Dr. Halsey closed her eyes as if she were concentrating, and she whispered,
"Not all AIs have the fail-safe option, my dear Kalmaya. Just the ones that matter."
"I understand, Doctor."
There was a pause, and the AI spoke again. Her voice said,
"Voice and fingerprint accepted and verified. Fail-safe code verified. It has been a pleasure working with you, Dr. Halsey."
"The pleasure has been mine, Kalmaya."
She stood straighter and said,
"Fail-safe override access, Ragnarok. Give us a 3-minute countdown."
A 3-minute counter appeared in the corner of Fred's heads-up display. Dr. Halsey turned to him.
"I've activated the explosives cache under this base, which will level the complex. We have to get below, to the original titanium mine tunnels."
Fred wished she had consulted with him before she had given them only 3 minutes. Then again, Dr. Halsey knew what was at stake, what secrets were hidden in this base, and what damage could occur if the Covenant got their hands on those secrets. 5 minutes might be too much time, considering what was at risk.
"Understood," Fred replied. "Isaac, your rear guard. Vin, stick close to Kelly. I'll take Dr. Halsey."
Fred picked up the doctor with great care. She couldn't have weighed more than 50 kilos, light as a stick.
"I've got targets on motion sensors," Vin whispered over the comm. "They were close, too."
"Kelly, watch for camouflage deletes."
"Affirmative,"
she said. She scanned the room, moved to a cabinet, and grabbed a tin can marked Talc.
"Let's move," Fred ordered. "Kalmaya, kill the lights in the base. Hand signals only. I want radio silence."
4 blue acknowledgement lights winked on. The faint light filtering in from the outer hall died. Kelly slid into the hallway and melted into the shadows. Vin followed, then Fred and Isaac. Will trailed behind, moving slower because of the care he took to remain quiet with the gear. Dr. Halsey tapped her data pad, and a map uploaded onto Fred's heads-up display. A path traced through corridors and a nav marker designated an elevator shaft. That was their objective. The Spartans winked on their acknowledgement lights, confirming the route. They crept forward, smooth and silent, oil sliding over oil, until Kelly halted 10 meters before a five-way intersection. The Spartans froze and waited. She crouched, set the can of talc on the floor, and then stood with her knees bent. She waited another heartbeat, then gave a slight shake of her head from side to side, their signal for trouble ahead. Vin moved next to Fred's flank, and Fred set Dr. Halsey down and stood in front of her. Will crouched next to the doctor to provide cover with his own body if needed. Isaac remained on their six. Kelly kicked the can. It tumbled end over end through the air, and as it entered the intersection, Kelly squeezed off a single shot. The flash of light from the muzzle illuminated the passage just long enough for them to see the can explode and a cloud of white dust mushroom into the hallways. Their motion detectors flickered, and four targets resolved on their displays. Image enhancement showed the wavering outlines of four Covenant elites, their light-bending camouflage fluttering and overloading as the talc powder coated them. Kelly opened fire with both pistols. The elite closest dropped as three slugs pounded through its shields and a round caught it in the center of its elongated forehead. Purple blood blossomed across the wall. The remaining elites returned fire, and Kelly bounded forward, plasma flaring at the edge of her shield. She ducked into the side passage. The instant Kelly was out of the line of fire, Fred shouldered his rifle and squeezed the trigger. A three-round burst caught the next elite, and its shield sparkled and failed. It twisted away, clutching at the single round that had penetrated its chest. Vin fired two single shots, but the elite's shield held. In unison, Fred and Vin fired another set of three-round bursts. The elite dropped to the steel floor in a twisted heap. The last elite had vanished. No return fire, no sensor contact. The Spartans held position for a moment longer, then regrouped. With hand signals, each member of the team reported no contact. Fred spied tracks in the white dust scattered on the floor. The elite had bugged out, and it was most likely gathering reinforcements. That wasn't what Covenant elites usually did. Their pride demanded that they fight, and die fighting if need be. They would hurl themselves headlong into battle, no matter the odds, and die by the hundreds if necessary. They never ran away. Nothing about this engagement had been usual. Fred glanced at Will and Dr. Halsey. Will gave him a thumbs up, indicating that the doctor hadn't been wounded in the exchange. After the exchange of gunfire, there was no need for secrecy. "One of them got away," Fred told them. "We need to move too and forget quiet." The Spartans ran down the corridor. They heard and felt another explosion directly over their heads. Kelly skidded to a halt in front of the locked elevator doors. She gripped one of the panels. Fred and Vin gripped the seam of the other side, and the Spartans pried them apart as if the 5-centimeter steel alloy were no tougher than the rind of an orange. Kelly grabbed the elevator cables and slid down. Vin followed. Then Fred plummeted more than 500 meters into the darkness. The three of them ripped open the doors at the bottom of the shaft. Will slid down next with Dr. Halsey holding onto his neck. Isaac followed.
"There should be an air vent," Dr. Halsey whispered. "There."
Kelly ripped off the vent cover and peered down.
"It leads to the old mine tunnels," Dr. Halsey told them. "And more, I hope."
"Go," Fred ordered.
Kelly dived in head first. They waited 10 seconds, and her acknowledgement light winked on. Fred entered next, sliding through the vent duct. It twisted and turned and finally dumped him into a long tunnel of roughly hewn granite. The ceiling was 10 meters high, and judging from the 3-meter-wide tire tracks in the dust, big enough for heavy equipment to have rolled through. Will slid out of the duct with Dr. Halsey riding on his chest. Vin and Isaac came after them.
"There's more to this place," Dr. Halsey told them, standing up and brushing the dust from her lab coat. "This is only the beginning. We have to..."
A thunderous detonation cut her off. The mountain exploded, and ONI's base collapsed over their heads.